psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Just greet somebody next to you. Say, I'm glad to see you in church this day. Amen. So as an introduction to what I'm going to share with you today, I will give a practical example so that you can understand. That's also how Jesus used to teach. He starts you from the known to the unknown. Then it's easy to understand. He comes to the woman at the well. He wanted to share the gospel with her, but he starts by saying, give me some water to drink. And she could engage at the level of water. Until he said, but I've got another water that you don't know about, which if I give you, you will never thirst again. You see, now he was transitioning to what he wanted to share with them. Amen. So if you come to a place and find that there are problems and there's chaos, who do you look for to ask for accountability? You look for the person in charge, isn't it? Huh? Let me give you a simple example. As the CEO of Tiger Beg Hospital, if there are problems, people just direct them to me. They expect me to sort it. Because I'm in charge of that hospital. Okay? So now, you remember in the Garden of Eden, when there was a problem, who did God look for? Adam, where are you? So if there are any issues, the person in charge has got to come and take charge, take control. Okay? Can we all say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Simple. Okay? Now, if you look at things that are going on in the world, things around us, there seems to be problem and chaos, isn't it? But who's in charge? Okay. Let's go to Psalms 115. Verse 16. And we will link that with Genesis 1, 27 and 28. Mr. MJ. Psalms 115, verse 16. We'll do it in the Good News Translation. Then Genesis 1, 27 to 28. We'll do it in the Message. And I want to show you that God expects you and I to take charge. Now, obviously, like the example I gave earlier, being appointed the CEO of that hospital, if there are things and then I just say, no, I also don't know what's happening here. You see, things are just out of order. They will be thinking, what kind of an in-charge person are you? But if you look at how we talk about things, you know this world, you know this. But who's in charge? So read. Psalms 115, verse 16, Good News Translation, Mr. MJ.
Heaven belongs to the Lord alone, but he gave the earth to us humans.
Okay. And you say, no, Pastor, it only says he gave the earth to us. It doesn't say we are in charge. Go to Genesis 1, 27 and 28, Message Translation. So here in Psalms, he was actually ratifying what is already there in Genesis 1, 27 and 28. And I want you to understand that actually we are supposed to take charge. How much more even in your family? You know that sometimes there are things in your own family that are not going well. Things even in your own life that are not going well. And you are blaming other people. But who's supposed to take charge? You. Amen. Only Jesus is allowed to be Lord over my life and nobody else. So I've got to take charge. People who understand taking charge, you will see it among politicians, even political parties that are not in power. They try to take charge. It means they understand authority, just that they don't have it.
Yeah.
You see? So when you have the authority, when you have the power, you need to take charge. You can debate with people. You can look for opinions and advices. But at the end, you must take charge. Because you are the one that will be accountable. The story I gave you earlier, when God came to the Garden of Eden, even though they had sinned and the cause of problem, it started with who? That problem. With Eve, isn't it? The wife. But when God came to the Garden of Eden, he didn't say, Eve, where are you? Did he? I'm looking for the in charge. Who is in charge here? I don't have to talk to anybody else. I want the in charge person so that he can take accountability. Now, Read that Genesis 1:27 and 28 in the Message. And then I will give you the title of our message for today, because if you understand this, you are going to take charge. You are going to be a king on the earth. You will take authority. So read Genesis 1:27 and 28 Message, Mr. MJ.
God created human beings. He created them God-like.
So he created us to be like him, God-like. Mm-hmm.
Reflecting God's nature.
So we reflect the nature of God. Mm-hmm.
He created them male and female. Mm. God bless them. Mm-hmm. Prosper. Mm-hmm. Reproduce. Mm-hmm. Fill earth. Mm-hmm. Take charge.
Amen. Mm. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Take charge. So God is not going to reign in this world. He doesn't reign. He has given the earth to humans. Even when he wants to do anything on the earth, he will look for a man. Amen. He chose to put us in charge. So he says, take charge. Ask your neighbor, are you taking charge? Probably not. But let me just explain to you. So this was God's original intent, that man must take charge, must take dominion of everything that happens here on the earth. Okay? But then, when Adam sinned, he lost the authority, isn't it? It's like a traffic officer who is fired. You know, traffic officers have got authority. Yeah, it doesn't matter his size. And it doesn't matter the size of your truck. He does this. He does this. You've got to stop and go and obey. Because there's authority behind him. But if that traffic officer is fired, he no longer has the authority. And also, those of you who are not traffic officers, you've got no authority. You can't stop my car and I stop. Even if you're trying to stop like this, I don't stop if I don't know you. You have no authority to stop my car. You can beg for lift. But stopping my car, you've got no authority. Now, the devil knows that fully well. When you are not a child of God, he knows you have no authority. You remember the story of the sons of Sceva? Okay? Those of you who read your Bible, sometimes the pastor gives you stories for free, but you're supposed to check them from the Bible yourself. So there was one time when, because Paul used to cast out devils, and he would always say, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out, and all that, and all that. So there were other people who were hearing that. They were called the sons of Sceva. So they say there was certain men, he had his sons, and his name was Sceva. So his sons, when they were hearing that, actually, when Paul cast out demons, they go out. He uses the name of Jesus. Let's try it. You know that story. So they came to somebody who had demons and they said, in the name of Jesus. So they started well. Tell your neighbor, they started well. But look at the problem. Whom Paul preaches. Huh? Hey. Now, you're talking about the Jesus who's not your Jesus. You're talking about the Jesus who is not your master and Lord. Imagine if they had said, in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, we command you to come out. They would have had to come out. But now, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, is the same as saying, in the name of Jesus, whom the pastor is preaching about. Well, does he have a relationship with you? And you know what they did? They said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know. But who are you? And then that man was demon-possessed. They said, those guys were beaten and stripped naked, and they ran out of the city naked. Because of taking chances when you don't have authority. Okay? So as a child of God, you have the authority after accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And make sure that you are not fired. she backslidden, you still want to exercise the same authority. It won't work. The devil knows fully well that you've backslidden. Amen? And he will refuse that. Now, if we are created to take charge, the Lord, after Adam lost that, Jesus had to restore that authority to everyone who accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior. So let me show you these two scriptures and then I tell you. Today we're talking about thy kingdom come. Okay? So when you say thy kingdom come, some of you are only thinking about we are praying for the coming of the Lord. Uh-uh. I'll show you from scriptures. You are in essence saying, let's reign on the earth. And God reigns through you and me. I'll show you that through scriptures. Now, go to Luke chapter 22, verse 29. We'll do it in the Amplified Classic. I will read, and then Mr. MJ, you will do for us Luke 10, 19. I will read Luke 22, 29, Amplified Classic. Mr. MJ, you will read for us Luke 10, 19 in the NIV. I want to show you that Jesus had actually restored the authority back to us. So if there is something wrong in your family, if your children are on drugs, if things are not working well, if there is chaos in your family, you are supposed to take charge. Luke 22, 29, Amplified Classic. He says, and as my Father has appointed a kingdom and conferred it on me, what do I also do? So do I confer on you. In other words, the Father has conferred the kingdom on me to reign and rule. And if you look at Jesus, when he was on the earth, did you see how he was causing trouble for the devil? Wherever he went, he was destroying the works of the devil. He even said, for this cause was the Son of Man made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Now, when Jesus has left, do you want to let the devil off the hook? Because now you and I are remaining. And as he has given charge, he says, as the Father has appointed a kingdom to me, I also confer it on you. Now, read Luke 10, 19, Mr. MJ, NIV.
I have given you authority.
Okay. You know that word authority. Authority says it doesn't matter your size. You are empowered. You have got a force backing you up. Tell your neighbor, when you have authority, it doesn't matter your size. There is a force backing you up. Amen. I'm well backed when I do things. When I declare things, the kingdom of heaven backs me up. That's why Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven so that you can declare things that are in heaven and declare them on the earth. So he says, I've given you authority. Continue.
To trample on snakes and scorpions. Mm-hmm. And to overcome all the power of the enemy.
We have been given authority to overcome, to do what? To overcome, talk about to overcome all the power of the enemy. Tell your neighbor, I've been given authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. And nothing will harm me. Amen.
Amen.
How do you like that? So now, you would find that because you were not taking authority, so if he says, I give you authority, now who is supposed to enforce order? You and I. And you're still saying, if it's God's will, things will work out in my family. Take charge. If it's God's will, things will work out in my life. You know, people are jealousing me. You know, people are standing on my way. Take charge. Amen. He has given you the authority. When you are given the authority, you are backed up. So your government backs you up. So it means I say things, I do things. I mean, I enjoy some of those privilege at the place where I work. Yeah, but if I leave that job, I have no authority. But as long as I'm there, I declare things just like government has spoken. Why? Because I'm backed up. So when he says, I give you authority, who is... So a person who's given the authority, he only exercises the authority, but he doesn't necessarily have the power to enforce it. Did you know that? Yeah. That traffic officer who gives you the ticket, he can only give you the ticket. He can't force you to pay it. He has got no power to force you to pay it. Now, if you want to know that that traffic officer was not working on his own accord, ignore the ticket. You will not have to deal with the traffic officer. You will have to deal with the power behind the traffic officer. So it means, if I'm given authority even in the kingdom, let the devil dare try to ignore the ticket. Then you will see that I was not speaking of my own accord. Yes. Amen. Amen. So my kingdom backs me up. Amen. Amen. So it means when now we are on the earth, because I want to connect this so that you can understand why we're saying thy kingdom come. So when he says, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and he says, whatever you bind where on earth will be bound in heaven. So he was saying, you are dispatched to the earth. When heaven has to influence the earth, we are depending on you. Amen. Amen? Amen. Declare things on the earth, heaven will back you up. Amen. Tell your neighbor, declare things on the earth. Amen. And heaven will back you up. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, King James Version. Now you will see how this connects with the authority that you have as a child of God. And I think the best place to start exercising authority is in your own life. Imagine the devil comes and puts sickness on you and he says it's incurable, when your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So you need to take charge. You need to declare things on the earth and heaven will back you up. Amen. 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 Because I'm a child of God. I've got the authority. When you have the authority, you don't have to struggle with the size. You don't have to be a big size to exercise the authority. Your backing government will back you up. So, Matthew 6, 9 and 10, King James Version, Mr. MJ, are you there?
After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven.
Okay, I want you to look at this. He says, our Father who is where?
In heaven.
Who? Which art in heaven. Now,
Hallowed be thy name. Mm-hmm. Thy kingdom come.
Okay, so the person who's speaking is not in heaven at the moment. The person has been dispatched on the earth. The person is an ambassador on the earth. So you say, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come. To show that where should the kingdom come, read further.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Are you getting that? So here Jesus was not talking about praying for the coming, for his second coming. No. He was saying, we need to say, our Father. Because if it's about his second coming, then why your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? We need it now. We need the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven now. We want to put order now. Amen? Amen? So when he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it means, may heaven influence what happens here on the earth. Amen. Do you think in heaven they are sick? The angels sometimes, we can't worship today. Eh? You think the angels have that? Uh-uh. There's no sickness in heaven. So if my body is sick, then I need to say, thy kingdom come, thy will, which is healing, be done on my body, as it is already confirmed in heaven. Amen. Then you are taking charge. But if when you are sick, you keep on saying, hey, you know it's winter now, we will all catch flu. You're not taking charge. You are actually opening doors for flu. Because even if flu thought it was not going to come to you this year, then it realized, oh, there's somebody who's looking for me. Especially if it has come to some of us and we have rejected it, then it will be looking for an opportunity. Then it hears somebody saying, ah, you know, winter, every winter, I catch flu. Oh, we thought this year we were not going to go to him, but he says every winter, let's go. Amen. Because as for me, I say I refuse to catch flu. I catch the word. Yeah. It's unlawful for flu and anything else of the enemy to take charge in this body. So when they come, I've got to resist it. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will do what? He shall flee. But if you don't resist him and you confirm that he is in you, you know, when we grew up, we didn't know the word, and we would go to church, and the people that we were with, they just taught us some songs, man. There was another song called "The Devil is Standing in My Heart." Satane choi my ma. And then the person even go, you find you even put your thing, Satane choi my ma. And you think you are worshiping. But now, I know who is here. The Holy Spirit is in me. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It is illegal for sickness to occupy this body. Every virus and every disease germ, this was our confession during COVID, and we never caught it in my whole family. And most of you here in the church who were confessing like us, we say, every virus and every disease germ that touch this body, die instantly in the name of Jesus. Because the life of Jesus is manifested in my body. I'm speaking that. I'm speaking life in my body. I'm taking charge. Amen. Ask your neighbor, do you take charge? Okay. So, when we take charge, then we are making sure that the kingdom of God is coming on earth. Look at this. Go to Luke chapter 11, verse 20, NLT. We're still saying, thy kingdom come. So it means, instead of just saying, thy kingdom come, as if it's a casual thing, you are actually saying, when you say, thy kingdom come, you beg it by saying, thy will be done. So may you reign, may your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth. So who enforces that? You will have to say, you have to pronounce it, and heaven will back you up. Amen. It's like if you are sick and I come and lay hands on you, I say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. I make a declaration and heaven will confirm my word. You might have heard, usually when I pray, I say, Father, I thank you that you confirm your word with signs following. That's Mark chapter 16. It says, they went everywhere, preached the gospel, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Okay? Now Luke 11:20 NLT. Mr. MJ, are you ready for it?
But if I am casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you.
Did I just prove my point?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Amen. Last week, Mr. MJ was teaching us about bringing a case before God as a petition. So, as a teacher, I've got to make scriptures speak for each other. So I gave you the illustration of saying, when we say, thy kingdom come, what do we mean? So he says, if I'm casting out, it was Jesus when he was on the earth. So it means he was saying, I'm not going to allow this person to be tormented. and would cast those devils. Then they came and said, no, he's casting out devils by the evil spirits, by Beelzebub and all that and all that. He says, but if I am casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has come among you. The kingdom of God is experienced when we exercise the authority. Tell your neighbor, the kingdom of God, it's experienced when we exercise the authority. Actually, I want to just show you something. Don't you think that when Jesus was on the earth, the devil had it tough? Huh? Now Jesus has gone. Do you think he should be let off the hook? Do you think that was Jesus' intention, that let me put the devil under pressure, but when I go, he can be loose? No, he trusted you and me. Look at this. Luke chapter 19, verse 11 to 13, King James Version. Luke 19, 11 to 13, KJV. I want to show you that Jesus, when he left on earth, he left, but he also gave us a task to continue with his work, to continue taking charge. That's why he says, the Father has conferred the kingdom on me. I'm also conferring it on you. So ask your neighbor, when last did you exercise authority that Jesus has placed on you? Because we usually talk like people of the world. You know, in this world, hey, children of nowadays, still talking about your child also, as children of nowadays. The Bible says, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. So you've got to say, my children are blessed and they will be mighty upon the earth. Even if they go astray, the Bible says, train up the child in the way he should go. When he grows up, he will never depart from it. Even if they go astray, they have to come back because mommy is praying. Amen? Mommy is taking charge. Mommy is taking control. So Luke 19, 11 to 13, KJV, Mr. MJ.
And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear.
Okay, at that time they were thinking the kingdom of God should immediately appear. But then he's going to explain. I like the explanation that Jesus gives. Read.
He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come.
I like that mandate. Tell your neighbor, I like that mandate. He said, what must I do when he's gone and he's coming back? Occupy till I come. Don't let the devil off the hook. Keep the territories that I've gained. Occupy until I come. So when we say thy kingdom come, we are occupying. That's why we even said when we came to this side, we said Kales River for Jesus. Amen. Most of us come from the other side, but we bring the kingdom of God here. Amen. Amen? Amen. Occupy until I come. So wherever we go, we bring the flavor of God. We bring the kingdom of God. Occupy until I come. Because if you don't occupy, what happens? The enemy forces take over. They even take some of the land that was in your possession. In some of your families, even if you are Christians, the devil rules. Is that supposed to be so? No. You're supposed to say, devil, not in my family. Not after I've heard the message today. I'm bringing order. I'm taking authority. God has given me authority here in this family. And devil, you are not allowed to take charge anymore. When he says, occupy till I come, for me, I see him as, I mean, I wasn't there when he said that. He just gave that as a parable. But I want us to look at how he said it in John chapter 17. Then I could see the heart of a Jesus who is saying, I'm going. But may this thing that I've started never fail. I want what you've done through me, Father, to do it also through these that are remaining. I'm praying for them. They are not of this world, but they are in the world. I don't say take them out of the world, but preserve them from the evil one. You see how he was praying? So let's go there. John 17, 13 to 21. I'll read it in the NIV. So I want to show you this thing that when Jesus left, he didn't leave with an idea that the devil will take over. He left with a mandate. He gave us a mandate, occupy till I come. And he is even praying for us. When sometimes you feel like you are weak and you want to quit, you want to give up, remember, beside your pastor and your church praying for you, Jesus is interceding for you too. Jesus said to Peter in the book of Luke, chapter 22. So there was one time when Jesus said to Peter, Peter, he said, at that time he said, Simon, Simon, the devil has asked to sift you like wheat. Have you ever been in a place where you feel it's like the devil is sifting me like wheat? Whatever I try to do is not working. And you try this, you pray, you fast, you do everything. And the only thing you feel you're thinking of is maybe I need to quit. But the problem with the devil is that even if you quit, he still claps you. So you can as well fight your way out. Amen? So he says, Satan, maybe let's go there. But we're coming back to John 17. The time when I read it, it was in Luke chapter 22. And it should still be there. Luke 22, 31 and 32. I want to show you the Jesus who is concerned about your success. The Jesus who is concerned when things are not working well for you. He knows what you are going through. He even knows what the devil has planned against your life. But he's interceding for you. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Now listen, it's Luke 22, 31 and 32. And he said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. I don't think he was happy here. He says, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And he doesn't say, but I stopped him. Did you see that? Look at what happens after a but. It doesn't say, but I stopped him. So even in your life, sometimes you may be sifted like wheat. But what does the Lord pray for you? Verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. In other words, I know your faith can handle it. I know your faith can handle any challenge that the devil throws at you. So when the devil is unleashing all that he can on your life, I don't pray that he must stop it. I pray that your faith may not fail. Tell your neighbor, the Lord is praying for you. That your faith may not fail. Don't quit. Don't give up. I've never seen a chef who, when he's cooking and it's hot in the kitchen and they stop cooking. So tell your neighbor, don't get out of the kitchen even if it's hot. Yeah, that's part of being a chef. Amen. So it means when he says, I've prayed for you, he doesn't say, I prayed that the devil mustn't do it. He says, I pray for you that your faith may not fail. I trust that what I've invested on you is enough to overcome the powers of the enemy. So I know God trusts what he has invested in my life and what he's investing in your life too. So let's read that John 17, verse 13 to 21, NIV. I will read it myself. He says, it was the Lord Jesus talking to the Father. He was now ready to return to the Father. And he says, I am coming to you now. So I want you to look at a Jesus who's giving like a farewell speech to his people. He says, Father, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. So he says, they are not of the world. I'm also not of the world. My prayer, you see, what is his prayer? Huh? Then we look it together, verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. I don't pray that you take them out of the world. I say preserve them. Protect them from the evil one. Okay? And then he says, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So he trusts the word. He says, I've given them your word. Sanctify them by your word. Your word, by the truth. That your word is truth. So I know that when they have your word, they will overcome just like I have overcome the world. Because that word is the sword of the Spirit. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Verse 20. Now verse 20 is now including us. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Tell your neighbor, Jesus has already prayed for you. And he is still interceding for you. So you cannot fail. Even what you are going through, the Lord knows. But you are equipped to handle it. The Bible says, there is no trial that will come to you which is above your strength. So what you are going through, the Lord knows that you can handle it. All we can do is we pray that your faith may not fail. Keep the faith. Don't quit. Keep the faith. Because even when we are here on earth, we are like ambassadors. Okay? We've been dispatched to the earth. He says, they are not of the world. Did you see that? He says, they are not of the world. So what are we? Philippians 3:20. Good News Translation. Mr. MJ, I want to see, if we are not of the world, who are we then? Because some of you, you have forgotten that you are not of the world. You live like people of the world. You swear like people of the world, and you call it French. Don't do that. You are not of the world. Even your conduct. Some of you, the places where you go. There was this one incident. I think some of you, please don't bring the name of the Lord into disrepute, man. Behave yourself. So, this, it happened in this church many years ago. Somebody was telling us that. So apparently some of the people, or there was somebody in the church, on Sunday it's like it's one of us. But on another day, somewhere with other things there. So now, the people that he was with in their own things out there, they decided to come and visit our church thinking they are coming to church on a Sunday. Now they find this person is one of the, was person one of the ushers? Yeah. This person is one of the ushers. Are we lost? Are we at the place where we were last night? Because now they didn't think that when they saw you there, they didn't think that you belong here. So be careful how you behave yourself. You are not of the world. Amen? Amen? And your life is a living testimony. Other people are reading it. Yeah. Be a person who lives holy before God. Amen.
Amen?
I do that for myself. I will never have scandals in my life. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 I've got to live right. I don't belong to this earth. So even when you get offers, some of you, you go out of the way because you get offers. Okay? People give you something so that you can sell your birthright. You usually blame Esau for selling his birthright, but you sell your birthright, the enemy trades with you. Okay? Give you this, you can give that in return. And you look at the debt and think, oh, that's like a morsel of bread and I'm hungry. What does the birthright mean? Take it. Later when you cry and you want that thing back, it will be very difficult to get it back. Okay? So tell your neighbor, never trade your birthright. You are a child of God. Because some of you, you're going to buy something and they tell you, I know, we can make arrangements. You know this person is not the owner of the shop.
No, you know it's very expensive here. I can see you after work. Oh, you can get it for 20%.
And you are a child of God. And you want them to see you after work for things that are not their shop. Okay? You are trading your birthright. People are so much corrupt that they almost trade anything. I once heard this, but this one is a joke. I heard this thing of back door. So they keep on doing this. You come, I'll give you that. So now these people were bereaved. They were coming at the funeral parlor. They are coming to take their own.
Now, we also have got a small corpse here. I can see you after.
So, you see, when you are used to bribery, you will even sell things that cannot be sold. You see? So it means you've got to be very careful. Even you ladies, sometimes you've got to trade your body for the devil. Don't do that. You are a child of God.
Amen.
Who are we, Mr. MJ? Philippians 3:20, good news.
We, however, are citizens of heaven.
Say, ah.
Ah.
We, however, are citizens of heaven. We may be here on the earth, but we are not of the earth. We are not of the world. We are citizens of heaven. We are here as ambassadors. It's like an American ambassador in South Africa. It's not a South African. Okay? You can say, we are here. We are citizens of America, even though we are in South Africa. So our things are dictated to by our country. We are just here in a mission. He says, we, however, are citizens of heaven, and we eagerly wait our Savior, the Lord Jesus, to come from heaven. So if you are a citizen of heaven, it means this. 2 Corinthians 5:20, I'll read it, King James Version. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Tell your neighbor, I'm an ambassador for Christ. Now, that is a double-edged sword. It's positive and negative. So when you are an ambassador, you've got benefits, but there's also accountability. You cannot just live the way you want as an ambassador. Okay? There are perks that you are entitled to as an ambassador, but there's also an obligation upon your life. So when we are ambassadors for Christ, it means when the Lord wants to do things on earth, how should we do them? Can he just come and you hear you are an ambassador of South Africa. You are an American ambassador of South Africa and you are here. And you hear, oh, the president of America was here talking this. How did he get in here? Without going through with the ambassador, through the embassy. And the Lord had actually confined himself, even if he's sovereign. Look at Amos 3, 7, NIV. I want to prove this point to you, that even if the Lord is sovereign, you know when you say somebody is sovereign, you mean they have all the power. They can do anything they want. But God decided, even if I am sovereign, when I want to do something on the earth, I've got to go through the embassy. I'm the one who established that embassy. I cannot undermine the embassy. And you are the ambassador. So when you say thy kingdom come, you want your country to take charge in this planet earth. So read Amos 3:7 NIV.
Surely.
Mm-hmm. So he starts by saying surely. I thought everything in scriptures is sure. But he's going to say something. It's like Jesus. Usually when he starts by saying, verily, verily, I say unto you. He wants to tell you something that you thought, is this a slip of a tongue? So he starts by saying surely. So he's going to say something that you would have questioned and said, is it so? So what is sure, Mr. MJ?
The sovereign Lord.
Oh, but if the Lord is sovereign, then he can do anything, whichever way he wants.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. Does nothing.
Ah, is he tied? I thought when he's sovereign, he can do anything he likes.
Nope. He's tied.
Mm. So maybe read it well, without me interrupting, because I'm surprised. If he's sovereign, because it's different if he had said, surely God does nothing. He starts by saying the sovereign Lord to show that this is not a slip of a tongue. So read it in full without me interrupting. They will listen to you.
Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets.
Did you get that? Do you see how much God respects your presence on the earth? Huh? He says, I'm sovereign, but I cannot do anything without involving my ambassadors. I cannot do anything without going through the embassy. I respect the order that I've put on earth. So when we say, thy kingdom come, we as ambassadors, we are enforcing the kingdom of our Father on in the heavenly kingdom here on the earth. I want to prove you this point, that the Lord does nothing. So one time, God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember? Yeah. For those of you who think things that you are hearing these days are new, no. It's not even an invention. It was there during time of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not new. Okay? He wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. When he wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he then said certain words which to me says, surely the sovereign Lord limits himself. He says, go to Genesis chapter 8 and verse 17, NIV. So he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he realizes, oh, in Sodom and Gomorrah, there is Lot. And Lot is a relative of Abraham. So if we are going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, can we do it without going through the embassy? Listen to God's question. Genesis 18:17 NIV.
Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?
Did you see what the Lord said? He says, I'm about to do this, but am I going to hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? Am I going to neglect the embassy? I can't. And he went, and when he told Abraham, you know what Abraham did? Abraham started doing what, Mr. MJ, what you were teaching us last week. So Abraham started saying, but Lord, you can't destroy the righteous with the wicked. There may be some righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. It can't be that all people there are evil and doing the things that you were told they are doing. He said, what if there are 50 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah? Are you going to destroy it? And he said, far be it from you, to destroy the righteous with the unrighteous. So he was quoting, Mr. MJ, he was quoting to say, you cannot mix the righteous with the unrighteous. And then the Lord said, if there are 50, for the sake of the 50 righteous, I will not destroy it. You see, he was talking to the ambassador. Huh? Mm. Then the ambassador said, what if there are 40? Yeah, even 40. Because it's not about the number. What if there are 30? Even 30. Then he came down to what number? 10. Do you think if he started with 50, 40, 30, 20, 10? What do you think would have happened if he said, what if there is one or five people? I don't know how many of Lord's family were there. Because it can't be about the number. So he ended at 10. And Sodom and Gomorrah was still destroyed. But the Lord then decided, those that are mine, I want them to move from here. So he went to Lot's house. Lot, together with your family and your children and your wife, move out. This is going to be destroyed. You know the story. But he had to go through the embassy. So I'm now asking for you. I'm asking of you today. Do you know that you are an ambassador? Do you live like an ambassador? Can heaven rely on you? Jesus, the work that Jesus did, are you able to do? John 14, 10 to 12, I will read it NLT. Jesus says, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. This was one of Jesus' commonest statements. Jesus always said, I don't live for myself. I'm here, I've been sent. Even the words I speak are not my own, but the Father does his work through me. Even when I'm preaching to you now, the words I'm speaking to you, they are not my own. The Father is doing his work through me. Amen. That's why when I come to minister to you, I've got to speak what the Father is saying. Amen. I can't teach you Satan and Shoimaima. The devil is standing in the heart, because that's not what the Father said. Amen. That's the problem when you are a minister of the gospel and you don't study the Bible. Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. So, now look at this. He says, the Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe me because of the work that you've seen me do. Verse 12. I tell you the truth. You see again, Jesus. Jesus always tell your neighbor, Jesus always spoke truth. But why is he saying now, I tell you the truth? Because he's just supposed to speak. So whenever Jesus was about to speak something that is unbelievable, he will say, verily, verily, I say unto you, I tell you the truth. Surely the sovereign Lord. Now, he says, I tell you the truth. What? What is the truth? Anybody who has that verse, you should read it from your Bible so that you don't say that's what the pastor said. It's in your Bible, it's yours.
Mm.
What is the truth? He says, I tell you the truth.
Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father.
That sounds like a slip of the tongue. That's why Jesus started by saying, I tell you the truth. Did you see that? He says, I tell you the truth. Can I show you that one? He doesn't say, I tell you the truth. The pastors will do the same works that I've done and even greater works. Who's supposed to do the works that Jesus did and even greater works?
Anyone.
Anyone. Tell your neighbor, anyone includes me. Anyone includes you. It says, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. This is the thing I told you when I started. When Jesus was on earth, he never gave the devil any rest. And he didn't expect that when he left, the devil would be let off the hook. Because he said, when I'm going to the Father, I'm giving you the authority to continue with my work. So anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done, even greater works. Amen. Ask your neighbor, are you doing the works of Jesus? Are you? I hear this thing. You know that people sometimes, they will tell me it's English. It might be English, but to me it doesn't make sense. People will say, just to be the devil's advocate. Then I think, oh, to be the devil's, to play the devil's advocate. No, Pastor, it's just English. Why do you choose to talk for the devil who's already defeated? Huh? Because an advocate speaks on behalf of somebody else. Why don't you say, just to be the Lord's advocate? The Lord does not allow us to do this thing. Isn't it? But you just choose just to play the devil's advocate. Now, Pastor, it's English. Huh? Continue with your English. But I will never be the devil's advocate. He has lost the case and he keeps on losing. I don't want to be an advocate of a perpetual loser. If you want to do that, continue. Okay? Whose advocate am I? I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, so I talk for Jesus. Yes, I talk for Jesus. Those of you who also talk for Jesus, tell your neighbor, I talk for Jesus. That's a very high order, because sometimes when you want to gossip, now you realize, are you still talking for Jesus? Does Jesus gossip? Hey, now there's a problem. Now you are the devil's advocate. Now I understand when you say you are becoming the devil's advocate. Because now you are backbiting others, you're pulling other people down and all that. That's not the works of Jesus. Okay? Now, look at what our task is. As we've begun our descent and I'm preparing to land. Okay? We've been cruising. And we need to prepare for landing. Cabin crew, prepare for landing. Colossians 1:6, NLT. Read Colossians 1:6 and I will go to 25 to 27 and then I will land with two scriptures. So this preparing to land, we are not landing yet.
This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world.
Hey, the same good news that came to me is going out all over the world. What is it doing?
It is bearing fruit everywhere.
Uh-huh.
By changing lives.
Hey. Just as it changed your lives. He says this same good news is going out everywhere. Changing lives. Just as it changed yours. So how does the good news go out everywhere? Through the embassy. That's why Jesus says, go ye into the world. It's a mandate. The world. And now, if you read verse 25 to 27, the same NLT, Colossians 1, you will see now for me, what is my responsibility? Do you have it, 25 to 27?
God has given me the responsibility of saving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you.
That's the responsibility God has given me. He has given me the responsibility of saving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. I will tell you what the master says. Because the word of God has to be revealed. It's not like a textbook where you have to reason it out. The word of God has to be revealed. So when it's just a written word, it's called the Logos, the written word. But that word has to become alive. We call it the Rhema, either the spoken word or the revealed word. So continue, then you will see that something is revealed.
This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past. But now it has been revealed to God's people.
Do you see now why sometimes when you're talking to people who don't know the Lord, hey, they reason, eh? Yeah, but if God is, if Adam and Eve were the first people to be created, now the Bible says Cain went to the east and then married there. So, say, ah, my brother. You're trying to do things that is way beyond your capabilities. These things have to be revealed. They are not reasoned. Okay? It's got to be revealed. So now, continue.
For God wanted to know that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too.
Yeah. God, so what has to be revealed? You know, some of you bother yourselves by many things that don't really matter much. You'll find people debating. They say, no, we're just doing Bible study. And you're studying things that even your pastor doesn't know. So you're dealing with things that, I like what the Bible says in the book of John. The author of John says, there are many things that Jesus did which are not written in this book. Because if they were written, how big would the volumes of books be? But what is written, it's enough for us to believe. Amen? So walk with the revelation that God has given you. Some of you go astray by trying to reason things that don't even help you. It's not even going to help you in your walk with the Lord. You are just arguing and debating. I'm just warning you as your pastor. Look for things that will grow you up. Okay? Look for the good news that changes lives. Okay? What is the secret? I want that secret. And that's what you must focus on.
And this is the secret.
What is the secret? That's what I want to know.
Christ lives in you.
Hey.
And this gives you assurance of sharing his glory.
I like that. If now Christ lives in me, that's what I want to know. I want to know this secret that, oh, pastor, you know when you lay hands on the people and people get healed, there's a secret. It's Jesus touching them. Oh, pastor, do you know when you teach the word and it becomes so clear to us and we understand it? There's a secret. Jesus is just teaching us through you. That's the secret. Amen? So even in your own life, know the secret. The secret is the Jesus in me. Okay? I used to, there was this other, it was Go Commercial in the old days. I don't know in other languages, but in my language, they used to have this, Chipiricho Vera Kagara. What was that? As camel. So it seemed like somebody's face was always, yeah, the skin was somehow good, man. And people didn't know what is the secret. Now the other lady in the advert, she said, oh, the secret is out. And they said, as camel. So no wonder he always looked like this. Do you know that even some of us, yeah, some of us, you look at us and you think we are in our 20s. It's a secret. Okay?
Amen.
So, the secret is Jesus in us. He's a good manager.
Amen.
Yeah. There are some people who are in their 30s. Ooh, you will think it's grandpa.
Yeah.
It depends on who is managing you. But the good thing is that if you were mismanaged, the Lord can always restore you.
Amen.
Okay? He can, the potter can restore you again, and then you brighten again. Amen. So as we land, I want to take these two portions of scripture Because I want you to know that if Jesus is living in you, I want to show you how you progress in your life or in your walk with the Lord. And please get me clear. So even every Sunday, even when I want to come with the word, I always pray, Lord, help me. Whatever I preach, everybody, it should minister to everyone. Whether it's the person who's just coming the first time to church today, you never heard anything about the Lord, receive something. Whether you say, I've been in the Lord for 40 years and I've grown up in the Lord, receive something. So even in our own walk with God, I want to show you something in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. I'll do it from verse 1 to verse 9. I'll do it quick in the Amplified Classic. Because I want to show you something, that if Jesus is in you, actually, this is the thing about the Holy Spirit. Those of you, I need to touch this, but usually it's a series on its own. Do you know that every child of God have got the Holy Spirit in them? Okay? When you are a child of God, you got the Holy Spirit in you. But you don't necessarily have the Holy Spirit upon you. Okay? The Holy Spirit in you is a well flowing to eternal life. But Jesus also talks about it will become a river. So a well, what's the difference between a river and a well? The well is for personal use and it's circumscribed to a particular place. The river goes out and keep on touching lives. We heard that this word is going out everywhere. So you can't touch everywhere with a well. You need a river. Now look at this in Ezekiel 47, 1 to 9. Then he, my guide, brought me again to the door of the house of the Lord, the temple. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple was toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the temple on the south side of the altar. Then he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around outside to the outer gate by the way that faces east. And behold, waters were running out on the right side. And when the man went on eastward with the measuring line, I want you to see this, the measurement. Okay? So it's like, think of the water flowing. It's starting here from a well, but it's going, and getting more and becoming a river. So he says, he was holding a measuring line in his hand. He measured 1,000 cubic, and he caused me to pass through the waters. And where were the waters? The waters that were at ankle deep. So you're starting, okay? You start ankle deep. He says, again he measured 1,000 cubic and caused me through the waters, and the waters were, they reached the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and caused me to pass through the waters, and the waters reached the loins or the waist. You see growth. Tell your neighbor, do you see growth? Tell your neighbor, don't remain at ankle deep. There's still much more to go. So now you come to the loins. And afterward, he measured another 1,000. And now, it was a what now? A river. Now it was a river that I could not pass. For the water had risen, waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed through. Something that started like water springing, ankle, knees, waist. Now it has become a river. And when it becomes a river, I like this. Now, this is the secret for you children of God, for you who want to make an impact on the earth as ambassadors. Something that started within you as a small well. Okay? It needs to grow to an extent that it becomes a river. Look at what happens when it becomes a river. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he led me and caused me to return to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side and on the other side. Then he said to me, these waters, now he's telling me about what will happen to that river, pour out toward the eastern region and go out into the Arabah, the Jordan River, and into the Dead Sea. I want you to think of this. So think of fresh water coming to the Dead Sea. What should happen when the fresh water enters the sea? He explains it himself. He says, and when they shall enter into the sea of putrid waters, the waters shall be healed and made fresh. You know what this river is doing? When this river comes and it finds that this is a dead place. So actually the Arab was like the dry land, the desert. Other versions would say it came to the desert. So when it comes to the desert, it gives life. It comes to the Dead Sea where there's stagnant water and there's no movement, it gives life. You come to people who are dejected, they want to commit suicide, life. You come to somebody terminally sick, life. Because wherever this river goes, look, I like this. And wherever the double river shall go, every living creature which swims shall live. And there shall be a great number of fish, because these waters go, that the waters of the sea may be healed and made fresh. And everything shall live wherever the river goes. Amen. That's the work of an ambassador. Amen. Amen? Amen? Wherever I go, let there be life. Amen. Whoever I minister to, let their hope be revived. Amen? Amen? Wherever the river goes, there will be life. Now we land with Mark 16 because now he's giving us a commission. Because when we say thy kingdom come, because when we say that thy will be done on earth, all the things that I was sharing with you are so that you must know that we are supposed to take charge. But when we are taking charge, we don't only do it for ourselves, not just a well. We want this to become a river that can affect and touch other people also. It says the gospel, the good news is going out all over the world, changing lives. Yes. Wherever we go, may we bring the life of God. Amen. Wherever we go, may people start having hope. Yes. Because somebody with Jesus has come. An ambassador is here. Amen? Amen? Yes. Yes, and speak like an ambassador. So now, this is how we were sent. Mark 16, 15 to 20, New King James Version. He said to them, now this is what he's doing. He's saying to us, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the message to the ambassadors. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Did you see that? These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. And somebody said, no, in our church, we don't believe in speaking in tongues. In our church, we don't believe in casting out devils. We believe the age of miracle is gone. It's passed with the apostles. The good thing with this verse, it doesn't say these signs will follow everybody in church. These signs will follow those who believe. Those who don't believe, don't bother. Tell the people, when you get people criticizing this thing, tell them, don't bother. They will not follow you. They don't follow people who don't believe. These signs will follow those who believe. They will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Now, verse 20. This is a good place to land. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. It means that's a good place also for me to say amen. Amen. So now, when you say thy kingdom come, you know the responsibility. The ambassadors must do their work. Okay? Start it in your own life. Today we are going to have time to pray. By the way, we said after church, those of you who came prepared like some of us, when we hear it's time to pray, we say, Vituba loku tandraza. Hello, so we are saying we have time to pray. And today after church, if you're not hurrying, like we said, we're going to have time. We said every first Sunday of the month. This year we'll be praying and fasting. And the way we pray, we said we pray without necessarily looking at your watch, because then your watch disturbs you. You say, we're supposed to pray for an hour and it's only 10 minutes. Now you're not praying, you're watching time. So at least we say, the rule is you pray until you feel your heart is at peace, until you feel I've got the breakthrough, until you feel I've got what I wanted. Okay? So it means, even for me now, I know we're still going to pray together. But I know there are things that you might have been needing prayer. Whether it's sickness, whether it's your finances, whether anything, maybe in your family and all that. I'll ask you to stand up because I want to pray with you. I want to stand with you in faith. Even when you are going to pray about it after church when we come together. But I want to declare words now standing with you. May you stand up if you need me to stand with you in prayer. Whatever petition that you have to the Lord, I want to stand with you in faith. And I want to take charge.
Amen.
Amen? I want to take charge. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I stand with these, your children. Father, you've taught us today to take charge. Even the many things that are confronting them, the many things that are facing them, all the Goliaths and all the giants that are intimidating them, I come against all the forces of darkness that are arrayed against them. I say, come down, walls of Jericho, come down. In the name of Jesus, I come against all those forces of darkness that are trying to destroy the lives of these people of God. I say, devil, stop it. In Jesus' name, I come against every sickness, every infirmity, every pain, every hopelessness. I say, go and leave these people of God alone. I declare the life of God upon them. Wherever the river goes, wherever the sound of my voice comes, let there be life. In Jesus' name, I pray even for those who need their finances to be touched. I speak your mighty move even upon their finances. As they give, as they want to be faithful tithers and faithful givers, in the name of Jesus, confirm your word in their lives. For you said, you will bless us so much that we will not have room enough to receive all the blessings. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you and bless you for your faithfulness. Even for those that are afraid, those that have been intimidated, those that have been threatened, even threatened by lawyers' letters. I say in the name of Jesus, all those that come against us will fall for our sake. For my Father, you said you will be an adversary to our adversaries. In the name of Jesus, I declare the life of God. I declare the light of God upon our path. And I say, let there be light. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated.